You are listening to The Point from MC3 in Lewistown, Pennsylvania. Check us out on the web at mc3church.org or find us on Facebook at mc3church. MC3, it's like nothing you'd expect.
Brand new straws. That's how we keep you young and fair in the merry old land of Oz.
Rub, rub here, rub, rub there, whether your skin or bronze. That's how we keep you in good fair in the merry old land of Oz.
We can make a dimple smile out of a frown. Can you even dye my eyes to match my gown?
Uh-huh.
Jolly old town.
Tip, tip, still, tip, tip, down.
We give the roughest claw.
That certain air of several fair in the merry old land of Oz.
That's how we laugh the day away in the merry old land of Oz. That's how we laugh the day away.
Tell me when it's over. Look at that! I want to go home. Who are you?
If you please, I am Dorothy, the small and meek. We've come to ask.
Silence!
Oh! Oh!
The great and powerful Oz knows why you have come. Step forward, Tin Man! You dare to come to me for a heart, do you? You clinking, clanking, clattering collection of collisionous junk!
Yes, Your Honor. You see, a while back, we were walking down the yellow brick road, and...
Quiet! And you, Scarecrow, are the effrontery to ask for a brain. You billowing bale of bovine fodder!
Yes, Your Honor. I mean, Your Excellency. Your Wizardry.
Enough! And you, Lion. Well?
Yourself, frightening him like that when he came to you for help.
Silence, whippersnapper!
Oh,
spoiler alert.
The great Oz has spoken.
Oh,
pay no attention to that man behind the curtain. The great Oz has spoken.
Who are you?
Oh, I am the great and powerful Wizard of Oz.
You are? I don't believe you.
No, I'm afraid it's true. There's no other wizard except me.
You humbug!
Yeah. Yes, it's exactly so. I'm a humbug.
Oh, you're a very bad man.
Oh, no, my dear. I'm a very good man. I'm just a very bad wizard.
So, prayer. How often do we think of prayer like those four travelers? And sorry, by the way, if I just spoiled the ending. You had like 75 years to watch the movie.
But I think a lot of times when it comes to prayer, even for people that follow Jesus and pray a lot, we think of prayer like that. And of course, we didn't show that part, but there's a journey. Like we have to get to the right spot so that we can pray. We can't just pray. We have to kind of go and follow the yellow brick road and we'll get there. And then when we get there, you know, we need to spiff ourselves up. We need to clean up. We need to put a little buff coat. We need to put curls and a bow in our hair so that we can go and pray. We can meet God. And then we walk into his presence and we're like, oh, he's scary. Can please just tell me when it's over? Do I have to do this? And we go in there trembling and afraid and I'm just nobody and who am I? And on some level, that is absolutely true, because God is a great and holy and powerful and amazing and majestic God. And in Proverbs, which we're doing a whole series this summer on Proverbs, wise up again, in Proverbs actually talks about how we should fear God and that that's the beginning of wisdom. And fearing is something we should do because he is to be feared. But when it comes to prayer, I think we approach God like Dorothy and her three friends. And we do it in this way of, oh, I need to be ready to go before him. And ultimately, and again, this illustration breaks down a little bit. But instead of fearing the great, powerful God, which is true, don't miss me, we recognize that maybe he's more like the guy behind the curtain. That we can come to him, because I think if they knew that it was the man behind the curtain, that would have changed everything. That would have changed their perspective and their willingness to go before him. And when it comes to prayer, when it comes to this idea, that's the way we should approach prayer. God is amazing, powerful, awesome, to be feared. I mean, think of all the different people that were instantly killed because of their disobedience. I mean, there's all these things. He is that God. Think of the creation that we live in. The beautiful sun that Chris talked about in his prayer. Like, all of that is amazing. But there's something that we miss, and I'll explain this before you burn me at the stake. There's something that we miss when it comes to prayer that, you know what? What if we just consider him more like the man behind the curtain instead of the great and powerful Oz? And so this series we're doing, we're on the second month now, 2 months of On Fire. And as we said from the beginning, this isn't about playing church. This isn't about showing up and sitting there and maybe pulling out your phone to pretend you're looking at notes and maybe you're doing something else. This isn't about like, hey, I do this thing, check the box, I'm done. This is about being on fire for Jesus. And some of us here, some of you listening, watching online, like, you're going to be offended. And you might be offended to the point where you're like, I don't want to go to that church. And I'm okay with that. Because we're not interested in playing church. We're not interested in just showing up and going through the motions. We're interested in being on fire for God, giving him everything we've got. And again, the very first week, we talked about those rocks and how we say God's important, but we really leave him till last. And we talked about different things. We talked about evangelism and telling people about Jesus. And if we're on fire, we're going to tell people about him. We're going to be open. We're going to be real. We talked about what did we talk about one of the weeks? We talked about prayer. This is today. What was the second week? The Bible. Yes, there we go. Thank you. We talked about the Bible and how, like, someone on fire doesn't just read it. Like, they're passionate. They want to study. They want to grow because God has spoken, and that's his word to us. We talked about last week the importance of the idea of not just doing the church thing, but craving this connection, craving, saying, I'm not just going to show up and serve because I have to. I'm going to serve because I get the privilege of serving the King of the universe. And I want to be with the body of Christ. And I want to be in their lives. And I want them to be in my life. And again, sometimes that's frustrating and offensive to people. Because they're like, we shared this in our prime group. I said, if you're talking with a fellow Christ follower and you ask them a question and their response is, that's none of your business, there's a very good chance that that absolutely is their business, because that's what the body of Christ is. We're in each other's lives. We're together. And that's what it looks like to be on fire. And this week we're talking about prayer. And if you're on fire, someone on fire doesn't just say prayers. And I've heard people like, I'm going to say a prayer for you. Okay, that's cool. Are you going to do a dance with it? Is it a say a little prayer for you forever, forever? Anyway, is it something like that? Or is it like this classic, oh, thoughts and prayers? What the heck does that mean? Thoughts and prayers. Hey, it sounds good on paper. It sounds really cool on my Facebook post. And again, all of these things that we've talked about aren't bad. You should be saying prayers. We should be praying. We should be thinking about people and praying for them. But this idea of kind of going through the motions, or this like, well, I guess it's Sunday morning and you know, hey, someone's going to come up and pray, so that'll be good for the week. I said my prayers. Maybe it's before your meal. Maybe it's before you go to bed. I got to say prayers. Now I lay me down to sleep. And I think Craig Rochelle talked about that a couple weeks ago in the video. We pray this prayer and like, if my soul he should take before I, like, whoa, that's scary stuff. But someone on fire doesn't just say prayers. And this is what I want us to understand. Someone on fire doesn't just say prayers. They have a conversation with their dad. Now, I recognize that just the idea of dad or father is difficult for some of us, depending on your relationship with your dad. But let's just assume that our Heavenly Father, that our dad in heaven, is a good dad. And we'll talk more about that. But when you're having a conversation with your dad, you don't think, oh, I need to get all dressed up before I talk to dad about the football game. I need to get all dressed up before I go to dad and say, hey, you know, can I borrow the car next week? We just have a conversation. And that's what prayer should be. But we think often like, oh, I need to find the right place to go talk to God. I need to make sure, you know, I'm holy before I go to God. I need to be all cleaned up. And yet, no, prayer isn't that complicated. And someone on fire, they're having conversations with their dad. They're saying, hey, dad, I love you. Hey, dad, I've got this need. Hey, dad, there's something going on in my life right now. But not, oh, great Lord, we beseech thee thine presence in mine era, for thine saketh of the thing that I don't even knoweth, what if I am sayingeth? Because it sounds spiritualist. And prayer isn't like that. It's just a conversation with your dad. And again, you might be like, whoa, that's kind of serious stuff. Like, didn't Moses have to take off his sandals because he was standing on holy ground in God's presence? Yes. But as we're going to see, Jesus kind of flipped the script a little bit. He changed things for us. And so, again, the YouVersion notes, we're going to be following along in the notes. They've got all the passages in there. In your Prime group, you can open them up and they'll be right there. There is no discussion guide. This is a family Prime week, so there's no discussion guide in the notes for this time, but that's also there. Also, by the way, there's a scan thing on the door. Over the summer, just so you know, we're not going to be using notes because we have the elders are teaching Wise Up again along with me. But coming back in September, our plan is to pretty much every series, we're going to have these notes available so that you can follow along, so that you can write your own thoughts. And again, it's not a matter of like, you should do this because you're spiritual. It's a chance for you to do something to help you grow beyond just now. And I was just saying to Kendra this morning, like, one of the hardest things of ministry is hearing people going, oh, what you said on Sunday changed my life. Or, wow, that song just moved me and I'm going to make a difference. Oh, man, oh, man. And then you get in your car and turn on the engine and all of that just goes right out with the exhaust. And so this is a resource to say, let's carry this beyond just Sunday. So we're going to be looking at a passage in Matthew chapter 6. So that's in the YouVersion notes. And if we turn on the house lights, if you have a paper Bible and you want to turn to Matthew 6, we're going to be there. But I want to talk about, what does it look like when we're off to see the Wizard of God? What does prayer actually look like for us today as followers of Jesus? And Jesus, I mean, there's a lot of things that Jesus and the Bible says about prayer. And we're going to look at some of them. But there's two specific kind of categories that Jesus lays out here in Matthew chapter 6. And this is part of what is called the Sermon on the Mount. It's a number of chapters in Matthew 5. Actually, it's also in Luke too. But Matthew 5, 6, 7. I think it's 5 through 7. And it's called the Sermon on the Mount because Jesus was on a mountain and gave a sermon. So there you go. But the first thing we see here is that Jesus gives a to-don't list. We often have to-do lists, but Jesus gives a to-don't list. And we talked about prayer in the series called Amen a couple years ago, which was our 100th series. And I think somewhere in the middle of the fall, we're going to be at a 125-point series, which is crazy. But you can find Amen and learn kind of more about prayer as we went into depth. That's on the loop. It's on our website and all that there. But he gives a to-don't list, and he gives two things that we're not to do. The first thing Jesus says is don't pray to seem spiritual. And this is the thing that Chris probably has this interaction. Some of you might have this interaction with people when you tell them you attend church. But as soon as you add the title pastor, people get weird around me. People get really weird. Like, I don't introduce myself as a pastor because I just want to, hey, get to know you as a person. Tell me about yourself. Tell me about your life. But then they're like, hey, what do you do? Oh, you know, I work at, you know, this store and I help out in the back serving. Okay, what do you do? Well, I'm a pastor. Suddenly everything changes. And they'll say things like, oh, well, I pray once a week. I repeat the Lord's Prayer easily twice a day. And they start saying all this stuff. I'm like, okay, great. But can I help you carry your groceries? Like, I don't know. It gets all weird. And a lot of times prayer is seen as this spiritual thing. And it is spiritual, but it's seen as this like marker. Like, well, let me tell you how many times I've prayed this week or how long I've prayed or how many times I repeated this prayer or whatever it is. And we have this like this benchmark that says I'm spiritual because I prayed this long. Or I pray in church. We do all this stuff. And Jesus is like, that is not what prayer is. Don't pray to seem spiritual. And this is how Jesus says it in Matthew chapter 6, verse 5 and 6. He says, when you pray, by the way, he doesn't say if. The assumption is that you are praying. We'll talk more about that in a bit. He says, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites. And this is a Greek word, hypocrite. The Greek word itself, because this was written in Greek, is Hippocrates. And Hippocrates referred to originally the mask. It was the name of the mask that actors would wear on the Greek theater, in the Greek theater. That someone would go, oh, I'm sorry, I guess I forgot my Hippocrates. I need to go get it. Okay, now I'm able to wear my mask. And that's the Hippocrates. That was the name of the mask that they would wear in their acting in their plays. And he says, don't be like someone that wears a mask who loved to pray publicly on the street corners. And in the synagogues, and these are the public open areas, where everyone can see them. And the really interesting thing is that the Greek word for see, and I'm not going to throw you all these Greek things that sound fancy or spiritual, but the Greek word here, it is the word that is used of stars, of to shine. He says, don't be like those people that like to pray on the street corners and the synagogues, which is where everyone met for church, so that they can shine, so that they're shining for everyone. He's like, no, that's not what prayer is supposed to be. And again, there's nothing wrong with Chris or Kendra or Kirk or whomever is up front, myself, who's up front praying. It doesn't say you're not supposed to pray up front. But the idea is, if you're praying to look spiritual, you're just a hypocrite. He says, don't be like them. He says, I tell you the truth, that's all the reward they're ever going to get. So if I'm praying up here and I pray and then afterwards you're like, that was a nice prayer, Pastor. And that's what you say. Jesus is like, if that's the only reason I'm up here, Jesus says, well, I hope you enjoy it. Nice prayer, Pastor. That's the best you're going to get. He says, but when you pray, go away by yourself. Shut the door behind you and pray to your Father in private. Then your Father who sees everything will reward you. He says, look, don't pray for people to see. Just do it secretly. This isn't a public thing. Don't pray to seem spiritual. Pray to talk to your Father. Pray to have a conversation. He says, then your Father who sees everything will reward you. You want a real reward? Do you want some person saying, hey, that was a neat prayer? Or do you want God of the universe to reward you and say, yes, this is about that relationship? So he says, don't pray to seem spiritual. I'm going to need to go faster on this part so I can slow down later. The second thing he says, the second to don't list is don't pray to force formulas. And I know that sounds kind of weird. What does this phrase mean? And I'm trying to pack a couple ideas together here. But a lot of times people pray so that they can force God's hand. That here's the formula. If you want this, this is how you should pray. And let me just tell you what Jesus says. He says, when you pray, don't babble on and on as the Gentiles do. He's talking about these other non-Jewish people. They think their prayers are answered merely by repeating their words again and again. And this phrase babble really means an incoherent just repeating something over and over and over and over and over. Dear Jesus, dear Jesus, dear Jesus, dear Jesus, dear Jesus. Hail Mary, Hail Mary, Hail Mary, Hail Mary. Our Father, our Father, our Father, our Father, our Father. Like, he says, don't just repeat. That's not how God answers. He doesn't work on a formula. He's not like a machine you put a quarter in and suddenly out comes your Coke prayer, Coca-Cola prayer, Pepsi prayer, whatever. He's not like that. It's like, no, that's not how God works. He says, these people think that their prayers are going to be answered because they repeat it over and over. He says, don't be like them. For your Father knows exactly what you need before you even ask him. He says, God knows what you need. So you don't need to try to like conjure up this formula to make him do what you want, to force his hand so that you'll get what you want. Because that's not how it works. It isn't a formula. Our prayer isn't a formula. And I've seen many times in our day. I mean, I've seen things where you say, you need to say this special prayer. Back when I was in grad school, the prayer of Jabez, super popular book. And it was like, this is the special prayer. If you pray this, you'll get everything. And that's not how prayer works. Prayer is a conversation. Think about your relationship with someone else and they asked you for something, but they said it in a certain secret way. Like, that doesn't work. There's special prayers. Praying using in Jesus' name. And I've heard people say that. They're like, somehow, in Jesus' name, I pray that in Jesus' name, this thing will in Jesus' name happen. And because I said in Jesus' name, I'm going to get what I want in Jesus' name. And we talked about in the crop series, in Jesus' name has nothing to do with getting your request answered. It's saying that you can go to God because of what Jesus has done for you. Other things I've heard, speaking in tongues. People go, there's charismatic churches that say, you must speak in tongues in an unknown language, and then God will understand you. And I don't have time to get into that right now, but I can say that is not what speaking in tongues is. But this idea of doing that special thing, then God will hear you. The praying the blood of Jesus. I pray the blood of Jesus. I pray the blood of Jesus. What does that mean? It just sounds messy. But what it means when you say, like, the blood of Jesus is legit. The blood of Jesus, he spilled his blood so that we would be rescued from our sin, so that would be, spoiler, adopted as children. But there's nothing magical or miraculous in the words, the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus. That's just repeating your words again and again, thinking that God's going to answer you. Or even repeating the Lord's Prayer, like, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And we repeat that, and somehow that's going to get God to give us what we want. And Jesus is like, that's not what prayer is. Don't be like that. You don't need to force God's hand, because guess what? God already knows what you need. And so the question would be, if God already knows what you need, why even pray? Why even pray? Maybe because prayer isn't about a to-do list, or maybe prayer isn't about a wish list. But maybe it's a conversation. Maybe it's about a relationship. So Jesus says that the don't list. Don't pray to seem spiritual. Don't pray to force formulas, because that's not what prayer is supposed to be. And then he goes on to the to-do list. Here are the things you should do when you pray. The first thing is, do pray for solace. And solace is not a very common word, but I wanted a word that would encapsulate all that's going on here. But solace is a place of refuge, a place of peace, a place of safety, of, okay, I'm here. And on some level, you know, there is a, when we went to Mexico, there is something about touching down on U.S. soil, on our plane. Just going, okay, now we're in America, we've got U.S. passports, we're good. Not that there were any problems, but some of us may have been detained by Mexican authorities in the past and perhaps feel a little bit concerned about what it might be like to be detained by Mexican authorities in an airport in the middle of a country where you mostly speak their language, but not in that moment because you're panicked out of your mind and you see a sign on the wall that says you are guaranteed the right to one phone call to your embassy. Okay. But there's something about that solace, that like, this is a place of safety. And that's how Jesus starts this prayer that we call the Lord's Prayer. And again, we did a whole series called Wireless, where we went through the Lord's Prayer. That was years ago, where we broke it down even more. But Jesus says, pray like this. Don't pray like that. Do pray like this. Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. And this use of Father, when Jesus introduced this, this was revolutionary. Because up until that moment, prayer for the Jewish people involved the tabernacle or the temple. It involved a sacrifice. It involved a priest kind of coming on your behalf. Something had to die. There were all these pieces before you could pray to God, to this holy God. And Jesus says, may your name be kept holy. God's name is holy. He is holy. He is incredible. He is beyond anything we can think. But he says, pray our Father in heaven. And this was scandalous for Jesus to say that you could just pray to your Father. And the answer is yes. He says, prayer isn't about this long, complicated thing, because I've done away with that. It's about direct access to the Father. Because the Old Testament tabernacle and temple, and we did a series called Dwell, all about the tabernacle years ago. And there was a big curtain between where God's presence dwelt in what is called the most holy place or the Holy of Holies. And no one could go in there except once a year, the high priest on the Day of Atonement. But when Jesus died, that curtain ripped in two from top to bottom to show that Jesus brought us access directly to God. And so we can call him Father. We can just say, Dad. He says, when you're going to pray, it's not like, I need to get cleaned up and, I'm so awful. And we kind of are awful, but we can go, Father, man, I had a rough day today. God, I messed up. God, I've got a big thing coming up. Father, tomorrow is going to be rough. Father, next week the test results are coming back. Father, I'm not sure what my kids are doing right now. And that's very different than, Lord, I thine beseech thee to, please. That's not a relationship. And again, if you had your kid come to you that way, you'd be like, what kind of horrible parent am I that my kids feel like they can't come and talk to me? That they can't come and just have a conversation? He says, pray like this. Our Father in heaven, it's a place of solace. It's a refuge. It's a relationship. God, how are you? And we'll talk more about what that looks like if I can get moving on this. So the second thing Jesus says is, do pray for surrender. And this is really important because a lot of times, again, people think of prayer as this wish list for God, or kind of the opposite side of that, or maybe with that. There's this wish list for God, and when I pray these things, God will do it for me. And that prayer is me going to God with the things I want. But Jesus kind of says differently. No, prayer should be surrender. He goes on and says, as you pray, may your kingdom come soon. May your will be done. So we're saying, Father, I am praying not for my list, but I'm praying for your kingdom and that I would honor you. And remember, we talked about the kingdom of heaven was like a treasure hidden in a field the very first week. Same phrase, kingdom. Everything that relates to Jesus, may that be the most important thing. May your will be done. We just sang that. Not my will, but yours. On earth as it is in heaven. Like, God, I'm not here to tell you what I want. I'm here to see what you want. Because I'm in a relationship. And I know that you love me, you care about me, and so therefore what you want for me is going to be better than what I want for myself anyway. And we know that as parents. You know, as they get older in teenage years and adulthood, that's a little bit different. But certainly as little kids, there's things that little kids must have. And parenting is saying, no. I'm not going to give you that thing that you must have because I've got something better for you. And then he says, give us today the food we need. Some translations say daily bread. And that phrase daily bread referred to not just once a day, but something that is necessary. And he says, give us today. And the whole idea of praying for our daily bread or praying for that is that God says, I'm going to provide for your needs. I'm not talking about 6 years from now. We just need to pray, God, provide for my needs today. Because you know what? Today is all you're guaranteed. And today is all you need. You don't need tomorrow's stuff today. You need today's stuff today. And so Jesus says, when you pray, just surrender. You're praying for surrender, saying, God, it's not about what I want. It's not about what I need. It's about what you want, and what you have for me is better. And it's not about me getting more and having lots. It's about having enough for today. And God promised that he will always give you what you need. And so we're praying for what today is. And one of the things, too, that I think people have often thought about prayer is when we pray, God will change his mind. We'll get God to change what he's doing or get God to give us what we want. And again, if you're talking about a wish list or a magic formula, maybe that's how it works. But if you're talking about a relationship, it's saying, okay, God, this is what I want, but I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust you. And so prayer isn't about, how did I write it here? Prayer is not about us asking God to change. It's about God changing us to surrender to his plan. And that's what prayer is. Saying, God, hey, here's, and we'll talk about how to do that in a moment. But God, I want what you want. I want your way. I want to follow you. I want you to provide for me today. I'm not looking for you to give me the answers for tomorrow because just today is all I need. And if we trust God for today, he's going to provide us for today. So the second thing is do pray for surrender. The third thing is do pray for sinlessness. And he wraps up the Lord's Prayer here and says, and forgive us our sins, as we have forgiven those who sin against us. And he says, look, when you come to God, ask God to help you. Remember, reflect on the fact that you have been forgiven. Jesus' death on the cross washed away all of your sins. And so, yes, we should cower as sinners before the presence of a holy God. But we can also recognize that we come before the presence of a holy God only because Jesus died in our place. Because he forgave our sins. And it's added that, and forgive those who sin against us, which is a great reminder. Oh, yes, Jesus, I'm worshiping you. Thank you for saving me. Thank you, as Chris prayed, and I'm not mocking his prayer by any means, but if you pray like, thank you, God, for forgiving me when I'm so selfish. And we say all these things, and we worship God, but then we're like, have no problem acting that way towards someone else. Or not forgiving someone else that is sinful towards us. And Jesus is saying, look, there's a relationship thing here. And that's what we talked about last week. This is a connection between the horizontal, if you will, connection between followers of Jesus. We have a vertical connection to God and a horizontal connection to each other. And so we need to recognize what Jesus has done for us. And then he says, and do not let us yield into temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. And I like the way the NLT puts it here, because the Greek is kind of this weird combination. And some of you might read it as some translations say, do not lead us into temptation. Yeah, there we go. Do not lead us into temptation. And it's not about leading. It's about God helping us when those moments come. When we are tempted, because God is never going to tempt us. The Bible clearly says that. We're never going to be tempted by God to sin. But there are going to be temptations from sin, from the world, from our own sin nature. And that's where we say, God, help me. Help me to be more like Jesus. God, help me to get out of this situation. Help me to make the right choice. When confronted with that opportunity, help me make the wise decision. Do not let me yield to temptation, but rescue me from the evil one. Because we need God's help to avoid sin. Like, we need him. On our own, we're going to sin. But God has the ability and the power to help us. So that's the to-do list. Do pray for solace. Do pray for surrender. And do pray for sinlessness. And of course, that was a very quick summary of the Lord's Prayer. The wireless series can tell you more about that. But this idea of what does prayer look like goes back to the point. Someone who's on fire, they don't just say prayers. You're not just praying this thing because we have to. We're not just opening, well, we don't have them, but you know, back in my day, you know, we had hymnals in our church, and there would be certain prayers in the back. And someone would say one word, and we'd have to repeat the other part back. And there's nothing wrong with those things. But that's not prayer. That's not a conversation with your dad. And that's what prayer should be. It should be a conversation. It should be, our Father in heaven. God, I'm broken. I'm not perfect. I'm messed up. But thank you that I can just come to you. And again, looking at it from a parent's perspective, Like, no matter how much our kids mess up, we love them. And we get frustrated when they mess up, not because we want to see them hurt, but because we want to see them do well. And so think about that relationship, that we have a father that wants to have a conversation with us. It's not a matter of saying the right prayers or the magic formula, or because I have to do it, or I'm scared, do I have to do this thing now? Let me know when it's over. And you turn around and walk away. Or is it a conversation? Because you have a relationship with your Heavenly Father. So I've been doing, as we have been doing every week of this series, say, look at ourselves and say, am I on fire? Are you on fire? And I can't answer that question for you. You have to look in the mirror and be honest, as we saw last week, like an honest estimation of yourself. And say, am I actually on fire for prayer, or am I just going through the motions? Do I just say the things that I'm supposed to say? Do I do it to sound spiritual? Do I do it because if I do enough, I'll get what I want? And so some questions for us to reflect on, for you to reflect on, for me to reflect on individually. Here's four of them. The first question is, do I pray boldly? Do you pray boldly because God loves you? And when I say boldly, you're not afraid to go to God. You're not, oh, no, I shouldn't say that. I shouldn't do that. I shouldn't pray now. Oh, I'm not perfect right now. I made a mistake. No, God loves us. He wants to hear from us. He wants us to pray boldly. And we kind of looked at this here already, but in Galatians 4, you have Paul writing about Jesus. And Paul kind of takes this Our Father and makes it really practical. Paul says, when the right time came, God sent his son, born of a woman, subject to the law. God sent him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law, who were slaves to our sin. Why? So that he could adopt us as his very own children. So Jesus came to adopt us. We are now part of the family. This isn't a temple with a priest and blood and sacrifice that we have to go through. Jesus did that and said, no, you're part of the family. Come on in. Welcome to the family. And I think you guys would recognize, I mean, I think, maybe, when family comes, you probably don't clean the same way when you have guests. Because they're part of the family. You don't have to clean up for us. You're part of the family. Welcome. So we've been adopted, and because we are his children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts. We receive the Holy Spirit in us, prompting us to call out Abba, Father. And Abba is a word that means dad. It's a very friendly word. It's like daddy, but not quite as childish. Because no one says daddy, it's an adult, but it's like dad. So because Jesus died for us, we are adopted as kids, and we can just say, Dad, here's the way today was. Dad, I want to come to you. Dad, can we talk? Dad, I got something big up coming up. Dad, I made that mistake today. And Paul says, you are no longer a slave, but you're God's own child. And since you are his child, God has made you his heir. You're a child of God. And you can go to your dad, and you don't need to be all cleaned up, and you don't need to be perfect, and you need to have the right words. You just go because you're having a conversation. This isn't a graduation speech. This is just, hey, can we talk? Over in Hebrews chapter 4, the writer of Hebrews adds this to it. It says, let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. Gracious, because we get grace. There we will receive his mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. The throne of God is referring to prayer, to this communication with him. The writer of Hebrews says, we can go boldly. Why? Because we've been adopted. We're his kids. And he loves us. And a good father is always going to help his kids out. Maybe not the way they want. Maybe they have to give in to the will of their father because their father knows best. That sounds like a TV show. But knowing that God's going to give grace. And a father is going to give grace. And so the question is, do you pray boldly? Do you come to God boldly? Or do you just fear prayer? Or do you feel like you're bothering God? You feel like, well, I can't come to him right now. Or I'm not in the right place. Maybe physically, maybe literally. Physically, maybe metaphorically. Do you feel like, oh, I've got to follow the yellow brick road first before I can go to God? No. You can go boldly right now. Right now, you could be praying to God. And if you're, if 16 seconds ago you had the most sinful thought ever, you still can go to God right now. Because he loves you. He says, you're my child. I want to hear from you. I have a quote, it's in your notes there too, from the late Tim Keller. He passed away last year. But he says, the only person that dares to wake a king up at 3 a.m. for a glass of water is a child. And think about that. If you're a parent and you had your kid, you know, knock on the door in the middle of the night, can I have a glass of water, mom, mommy, daddy, can I have some water? You're not going to go to bed, you horrible creature. How dare you come to me without asking the right way? And you don't need water. Go and eat your gruel, but not now because it's bedtime. I don't know. You're like, sure. And that idea of, you know, we can approach God at 3 a.m. The king of the universe says, you can come and talk to me because I'm your dad. And I'm here. And you can be bold. You don't have to wait for the right time or look for the right occasion. Come to him boldly anytime, anywhere. And so are you praying boldly like that? Because if you're not, maybe you're not on fire for prayer. Maybe you're just going through the motions. Or maybe you misunderstood what prayer was. The second question is, do I pray freely? Because God wants to gift me. How often do we pray? And when people pray, they only pray about spiritual things. Do you only pray about spiritual things? Well, I only pray for the soul of my next door neighbor. Well, that's great. But is that all you pray about? And do you talk like Obi-Wan Kenobi? Is that all you pray about? Or do you think, you know what? I can pray about anything. Do you hold back on things that you say, well, that's not appropriate for prayer? Or do you tell your dad what you really want? Do you actually tell your father what you want? In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus says this, keep on asking and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, everyone who seeks finds, and everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. And we talked about this in that crop series, because this isn't a magic formula for if you pester God enough, you'll get what you want. But he says, just ask. If at least you ask. He says, you parents, if your children ask for a loaf of bread, do you give them a stone instead? Hey, I'm hungry. Can I have some bread for dinner? No, gnaw on this stone, fool. Or if they ask for a fish, do you give them a snake? Of course not. And listen to this. Parents, look at me. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him? Jesus is like, your Father wants to give you. He wants to give you the best things. Now, again, sometimes we're like, God, I really, really, really need this new Maserati. And God's probably like, no, you probably don't. But I'm going to give you what you do need because I love you and I want you to have something that's wonderful. And that's how God is. And so do we pray freely? Do we go to God with everything, what we really want? Now, if you are in college, I need you to look this way. And if you are a senior or a junior in high school, I need you to look this way. Because it has come to my attention while we are in Oaxaca that there is an MC3 urban legend. And this legend goes like this. Once you graduate from high school, you are forbidden to go on an MC3 missions team. Someone shared that at our evening discussion time, and every adult in the room was like, what? Where'd you hear that? What? Who? What? Huh? What do you? I've never heard. Have you heard that? I haven't heard that. And there's this legend, and a couple of the students were like, oh, good. So wait, I can go on a trip even if I'm in college? Well, if you apply, we'll reject you. But you can apply. No. But you can, you know, you can apply, and then if it works out, then yeah, absolutely. There's no rule. And Chris, I remember him saying, why didn't somebody just ask? This is generational stuff we're talking about. Because we've heard that this has been going back for like 5 or 6, 7, 8 years with some of our college students. And we're like, all you had to do was ask. And we would have been like, no, that's not true. And how often do we not go to God with things? We're not free because we're like, why would God care about that? God wouldn't want to give me what I need. God wouldn't want to give me that. And Jesus says, just pray freely. God wants to give you gifts. He wants to give you good things. And it might even feel like, God, this isn't even unfair. This is even fair for me to ask this. And God's like, yeah, it's absolutely not fair. And I love you so much that I'm going to give this to you, that I'm going to do this for you. And so, again, this conversation says, I'm just praying. I'm just being free. God wants to give us good things. And you, do you believe that God is going to answer your prayer? Do you believe that God wants to do that? And with this series, we've had these prayer cards. And the reason we have these prayer cards isn't just for you to, like, oh, that's a thing they're doing because it looks cool. No, it's because I actually believe that if we took the time to pray for all of MC3, or just for ourselves, to grow in those eight areas of being on fire, that God would go, yes, I want to give you that, and I will. And starting in the fall, to give you a little spoiler, we're going to be having a prayer time right here on this stage at 9:30-ish, right after the sound check, 9:45, for everyone that serves in a ministry team that day, for the most part. Some people can't quite do that, but we're going to be right here, and we're going to pray for that day, for what God is about to do here with our kids, because our kids matter, what God's going to do in this room, because we think the prayer matters. And so we're going to go to God and say, God, man, here's what we'd love to see. And God might say, you know what, not right now, because I'm doing something else. And we're still going to submit to that. We're going to surrender and say, okay, God, not your will, but my, not my will, but yours. But are we willing to actually just be open with God and pray freely to him? The third question is, do I pray authentically? And Chris did not see my notes, but he certainly was tapping into some of the stuff I'm talking about here. Do we pray authentically because God knows me? Are you real in your prayer with God? Or do you, again, just kind of become this weird prayer robot? Or say certain things? Or just like, here's one of the things that I hear a lot. Well, I'm not in a good place, so I'm not going to pray. And that's exactly the wrong reason. You are not in a good place, so you should pray. But the idea of being real, can you be real in your prayer? Are you authentic with God? And in Psalm chapter 6, this is of David, who is called a man after God's own heart. David wrote this psalm as his prayer. And he said, my soul is in deep anguish. He wasn't saying, the joy of the Lord is my strength in this moment, which is also something from the Psalms. He wasn't saying, everything's great. It's all fine. No, I'm fine. I'm good. I'm fine. How are you doing? I'm fine. I'm good. We're good. We're fine. We're living. We're good. We're fine. Everything's fine. I'm fine. No, he says, my soul is in deep anguish. And listen to what he says. How long, O Lord? How long? David, this is a little disrespectful, don't you think? Like, how are you to talk to God about not coming through when you want? I don't know. God called him a man after his own heart. Turn, Lord, and deliver me. Save me because of your unfailing love. Among the dead, no one proclaims your name. Who praises you from the grave? God, I am worn out. I am tired from my groaning. I am tired of it. This sucks. I hate it. All night long, I flood my bed with weeping and drench my couch with tears. This is a prayer of David to God. God, everything's miserable right now. I don't like it. I am not happy. Where are you? He says, my eyes grow weak with sorrow. They fail because of all my foes. He is real. He is real and raw and authentic. And when we go to God, we can be real and raw and authentic too. God, today is awful. God, I don't know why they did that to me. God, I am not looking forward to what's going to happen tomorrow. God, the test results are coming and I don't want to know about it. God, they're making an announcement next week and I don't think I'm going to have a job. And I'm not happy about it, God. And it sucks. And it's miserable. Over in Psalm 22, look what David says. And this might sound familiar. My God, why have you forsaken me? God, why have you turned your back from me on me? Why aren't you there? Where are you, God? Why are you so far from saving me, so far from my cries of anguish? My God, I cry out by day, but you don't answer. By night, but I find no rest. And if you remember, Jesus said the same thing from the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? And so we can be real in our prayers. It doesn't mean we're disrespectful, but we can be real. We can be honest. Today's hard. God, I want this, and it's not happening. God, it feels like you're not answering me. God, it seems like everything I do, I screw up. God, it seems like you're not there. God, it feels like nothing ever goes my way. We can be real with God. Why? Because he knows us already. He already knows our hearts. We talked about this psalm in the Summer of Psalms series a couple of years ago. But do you pray only what God wants to hear, or do you pray real? We can come to God with authentic, real, raw prayers because he knows how we feel. He knows. He's not like, oh, you're not feeling happy right now? He knows and he loves us. And so we can go and say, God, this is hard. And again, you can go to a parent and say, Dad, I'm struggling right now. Mom, this thing happened last week and it hurts. And as a parent, we want that. Please come to me. And our Heavenly Father wants the same thing. Do you pray authentically? Be honest with God. And then watch God change you, because it's kind of cool. When we're open and vulnerable and real with God, it starts to change us because we don't have to be fake in the hard things and we don't have to be fake in the good things. We can just be real. And then the fourth question is, do I pray completely? Do you pray completely? Do you pray because God cares about it all? Everything. Do you only pray about big things? Meaning careers, money, sickness, those are the big things. Or do you pray about everything? Because in Philippians chapter 4, Paul says this. He says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about, what's that word? What does he say? Okay, I'm going to ask you on three. What is that word? One, two, three. Everything. Pray about everything. And somehow we've got this idea that God only cares about the big things. Sometimes God cares about the little things. Always. God cares about all the things. Just pray about everything. He says, tell God what you need. Thank him for all he's done. And we talked about this in the Thanksgiving Thanks series as well. But do you only pray about the big things? Or maybe you only pray about traditional things. And what I mean by that is, you know, you'll pray that dinner will nourish your bodies. And that's your prayer. Hey, I prayed, did my prayers, said my prayers. I prayed at dinner time that this meal would nourish my bodies. Maybe you're traveling. Maybe you're getting ready to go on a trip in your car and you pray your traveling mercies prayer. God, give us traveling mercies. I really want to know what that means. Really, just like legit. Maybe you pray for a hedge of protection around something. And I remember John Acuff used to say, really, the hedge is the best you can think of to protect you? How about like a giant stone wall with razor wire at the top? But we'll take a hedge. Or do we get just those traditional things? Or maybe you just pray the be with prayer. And again, I'm not trying to tear apart your prayers. But how often are we like, God, be with me. Be with me in this moment. God, be with us as we go through this situation. God, be with us as this happens. And I just hate to say it. That's a pointless prayer. That's a wasted breath. Not because God won't be with you, but because he already is. He says, I am with you always. And so do we just kind of do the traditional prayers? Or do we just pray about everything? Maybe you pray about the conversations. Do you pray about the conversations that you're going to have at the grocery store tomorrow? Does God care about that? Well, yeah, he kind of does. Maybe that's the moment that God wants to use you to change someone's life. Maybe God wants to use that conversation to change the way you look at other people. Maybe you pray that you'll remember your backpack tomorrow. God doesn't care about that, does he? Well, he does, because he wants us to pray about everything. And maybe remembering your backpack is going to be really helpful for whatever you've got going on. You can say, God, I've been struggling to remember my backpack. Can you help me with that? And maybe in that little thing, you're like, wow, I remember my backpack. Look what God has done. And then when we get to our prime groups on whatever night your prime group is, in the evening, you sit down with your group and say, what are your God moments? You're like, I got God moments. It was my backpack. I know that sounds stupid, but let me tell you how God came through. We can pray about everything. Or maybe you pray that you'll make it through that meeting without worrying. Because worry is like the Christian. That's okay. That's the Christian sin. We're cool with worrying. But maybe you just need to say, God, I'm really worried about this. Can you just give me what I need? And Paul says that you'll experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Maybe you just need to pray that you won't lose your temper with your kids. God doesn't care about that. He does. He cares about everything. And see, when we come in prayer and we look and say, am I on fire for prayer? We recognize that I can go boldly before God because He loves me. I can go with Him, you know, even if it doesn't feel like the right moment, even if the situation seems awkward, I can be bold because you know what? He loves me and cares about me. And we can pray freely. Why? Because God wants to give us stuff. We can say, God, here's what I'd like. And I know it sounds like unfair, or maybe it sounds selfish, but here's what I'd like. And maybe God's going to go, yes, thank you. And do you pray authentically? Are you just real? Because He already knows your hearts and your thoughts. Just be real in your prayer to God. God, here's how I'm feeling. Here's what I'm worried about. Here's what's happening next. And then finally, do you pray completely? Do you give God everything? Even the little things. Well, God doesn't care about that. He does. And I think as a parent, you know, there are things where, like, if our kids thought about it, like, you know, they come up with their little drawing or their coloring page or their card. And it's, you know, we'd like, well, that's not really worth much. But I care about it because I'm their parent. And I want to hear those things, too. And so that's what prayer looks like. And so someone on fire doesn't just say prayers. They have a conversation with their dad. We have the access. We are adopted as the kids. And we can go, Dad, here's today. Dad, here's what I need in this moment. And we can pray in an instant, Dad, I'm going somewhere right now and I don't have time to sit down and kneel and pray for a half hour, but I got 30 seconds and I just pray that You would help me to make it through this in a way that honors You. You have a conversation with your dad. So would you stand up as we worship together and kind of wrap this up, coming to God for who He is. Would you pray with me? Father, we right now are coming to You because You have given us access to the Father through Jesus. And thank You that You have adopted us as Your children, and we can come to You as Dad. And God, I pray that You would help us to come to You not when we feel like we're cleaned up, not when it seems like the right moment, but whenever. And that we would be bold as we come to You. And we would come to You freely, knowing that You care about us and want to give us what we want. God, I pray that we would just pray to You about everything. That we would see prayer not just as a thing that we're supposed to do, but a conversation with You. Our great and wonderful and holy Heavenly Father, our Dad. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So as you have in the notes there, we are continuing this crazy love reading plan. And I believe we're on day 5 this week. And then also the prayer cards are out there. Maybe you ignored them when they were on your seat a few weeks ago. But a chance they're out on the table in the lobby. Be praying, like, just once a week. That God would change that in you and maybe change that in all of us and see what He does to make us on fire.